Hello. Please open your Bibles to the book of Revelation. Revelation, no S at the end. Revelation chapter 21, it's the second to last chapter in your Bible, so it's easy to find. We continue in our series this month through Revelation. I preached on chapter 21, verses 1 through 8, 2 weeks ago. And last week, Pastor Kevin preached on Christmas. I thought, wow, he's ready. I'm not ready. I still need to get through Revelation. I want to preach 2 more messages on Revelation today, and God willing, next week. So we're in Revelation 21, verse 9 through 21. It's there in your bulletin. Definitely have your own Bible open because I'll be referencing other parts as well. Let's read together from verse 9. I'll start from verse 9 and go until 14, and join me at verse 15. Real quick, there will be a bit of trouble in verse 20 with some pronunciation. So I'll let you know my pronunciation. There might be a different pronunciation, but just so that we're all on the same page. Verse 20 says, the fifth onyx, the sixth ruby, the seventh, then that's chrysolite. That's how I'm going to pronounce it, like it or not. Chrysolite, beryl, topaz, turquoise, jacinth is what I'll say, amethyst, okay? And those will be the, I think that's it. So anyways, let's read. I'll read from verse 9. One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and said to me, come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high, and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. It shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates, and with 12 angels at the gates. And on the gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. And there were 3 gates on the east, 3 on the north, 3 on the south, and 3 on the west. The wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Let's read together. The angel who talked with me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city, its gates, and its walls. The city was laid out like a square as long as it was wide. He measured the city with the rod and found it to be 12,000 stadia in length, and as wide and high as it is long. The angel measured the wall using human measurement, and it was 144 cubits thick. The wall was made of jasper, and the city of pure gold, as pure as glass. The foundations of the city walls were decorated with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third agate, the fourth emerald, the fifth onyx, the sixth ruby, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth turquoise, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls, each gate made of a single pearl. The great street of the city was of gold, as pure as transparent glass. The very words of God. Amen? Well, good luck trying to draw that or picture it. Our title for the message is The Beautiful Bride, and we get that from the verse 9. Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. 10 years ago, 10 and a half years ago, Naomi and I stood here on this stage, and we were married, and we were married here because we met here, we were engaged here, and so, hey, let's get married here. And also, another reason we were married here is it's cheap here. Pastor Hiroshi and Pastor Kevin said, yeah, you don't have to pay for using the building or anything, you know, because it's expensive to rent a facility, hire the staff, everything. So our facility was here. The staff was the church members. The photographer was Kunishige-san sitting in the back there. Our good friend Yukiji was the coordinator of everything. And yeah, I bought a suit because I didn't want to rent a suit. I thought, yeah, if I'm going to spend money on a suit, let me just buy the suit and wear it for other things. So I have a black suit. I wore it last week for work. It's a black suit. It's my wedding suit, but it's also a funeral suit, a teaching suit, you know, a work suit. It's great. Yeah. All that to say, I'm cheap, okay? I didn't want to spend money. The most expensive part of our wedding was Naomi's dress. Man, don't ask me how much. It was a lot of money. And it was a rental. It was nice. And Naomi tried on a ton of dresses, and she decided on one. But it wasn't just the dress. As you know, for those of you who are married, it's the dress, it's the hair, it's the makeup, it's the jewelry. And I think the only time I've known Naomi in all our years together, it's the only time she's had her nails done. Even her nails were decorated. Right? Yeah, okay, I'm just making sure I got that right. I still remember, honey. And yeah, every detail. Yeah. And I didn't see her until she walked through the doors. Yeah, I'm standing here, and there's Pastor Hiroshi and Pastor Kevin, and I had to sing the opening song. I did not want to do it, but her mom requested it. So I thought, okay, I better do it. And we're singing and singing, and something was happening. There's a mishap. That's what happens at all weddings. And we're waiting and waiting. I was supposed to sing maybe 1 or 2 minutes. I ended up singing like 7 minutes, just on and on. And people were like, what's going on? And I'm like, what's going on? But finally, the doors open, and it's Naomi, right? It's the hair, the dress, the nails, the makeup, everything. Yeah, it's great. My bride. And that's how it is for us. Jesus spent a lot of money on his bride. And everything, every little detail. Now, Naomi had a few jewels and some nails done, But the bride of Jesus, amethyst, jacinth, jasper, onyx, beryl, chrysolite. I don't even, you know what I had to do? I had to look up these stones on Google. You could do it now. I don't mind. Go ahead and jump on your device and look up all these precious stones and have a bit of an image. But we're not there yet. That's at the end. We'll start at the beginning, okay? So, one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and said to me. Interesting, huh? You see the first number, seven. But how many times is seven mentioned? Three. Right? If you were reading the book of Revelation every day or listening to it every day for this month, you'll notice that number three, that's the rhythm of the book. John likes to say things three times and repeat things three times and three, like a waltz. One, two, three, one, two, three, one, two, three. It's a very important number. It's the number of God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Three in one. But even more important than the number three in this book of the Revelation is the number seven. Yeah, seven. Seven churches, seven stars, seven lampstands, seven angels, seven seals, seven bowls, seven trumpets, seven plagues. Get the picture? Seven. The number of completion. It's the end. You've been working all week, Monday through Saturday. Amen, somebody. And now it's the seventh day. It's done, right? That's God's way of saying, this is it. I would say the second most important number in the book of Revelation is the number 12. The number 12. And we see it there many times, the number 12. The number 12 is the number of God's people. There are 12 tribes of Israel. 12 tribes, 12 peoples of the old covenant. And then there are 12 apostles of the new covenant, Jesus' 12 disciples. And we have both there, right? The number 12 is the number of God's total people. And God's total people from the old covenant to the new covenant are in the picture. And then it gets even bigger. You go to the number 10, which means a multitude, but 10 times 10, and you get times 10, so you get the number 1,000, and so there's the multitude of multitudes. Are you with me? And then there's the number 12,000, and so 12,000 is 12 times 1,000, and so it's the multitudes of God's people. Right? And then there's the 144,000. So there's 12 times 12 times 100,000. So there's the multitudes of multitudes of God's people. Very big numbers there. So numbers are not just numbers. Well, in the book of Revelation, they're not just numbers. In other books, like, you know, you go to the Gospels, for example. They've got other numbers there. One of them was Jesus told the fishermen, catch some fish on this side of the boat. And so they pulled out the fish. Do you know the story? They caught the fish, and there was 153 fish, right? And so people are like, oh, 153. Oh, that's 17 times 9. So 9 is 3 cubed, and 17 is 10 plus 7. And there's, and then they just go on and on. It's no. Those are the Gospels. Gospels are not like Revelation. The Gospels are the Gospels. They're records. The Revelation is not a record. It's a revelation. It's symbolic. It's meaningful. It has images and numbers that are pointers and signs to other realities. So be careful when you're saying, it's exactly 144,000. It's exactly 12 people. Be careful. That's how we want to read Revelation. Now, if you want to talk to me about Revelation and ask me some questions or give me your opinions and interpretations, don't talk to me until you've read Revelation every day for 1 month. That will probably cut out most of the questions. Because if you're only going to pick one number or two pictures or three images, it's not worth talking about. You need to read Revelation and get the whole picture, and then we can talk. Now, seven bowls, seven plagues, seven angels, and then one of them comes to John. And so this is one of the seven. And if you've read Revelation, especially from chapters 4 all the way to 18, there's a whole lot of angels and a whole lot of bowls and trumpets and plagues. And so one of them at the end says, okay, John, I've got something special to show you. Come with me, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. The bride, let me just say it, it's us. It's the church. And we understand that because from Ephesians chapter 5, it says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave his life for the church. How? To wash her clean with the washing of the word and make her pure. We are the bride of Christ. But that's one picture of who we are. But another picture of who we are is in verse 10. The holy city, Jerusalem, coming down from heaven. So the bride is the people of God, is the city. Now right there, you should understand, we're not talking about a literal city. If I saw my wife, Nahomi, coming down in her wedding dress, all adorned and made up, and I say, honey, you look as beautiful as a city, that would be an insult. Right? So we're not talking about literal things. But a city has a very special meaning. What's that meaning? Well, go with me to four chapters earlier to Revelation 17. Go back in your Bible to Revelation 17. And I'll help you to get a better picture of that, verse 1. Read with me in verse 1 in chapter 17. And you'll notice some things similar to what we just read. One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came to me and said, come, I will show you the punishment of the great prostitute who sits by many waters with her. The kings of the earth committed adultery. The inhabitants of the earth were intoxicated with the wine of her adulteries. And then the angel carried me away in the spirit into a wilderness. And there I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast that was covered with blasphemous names and had seven heads and 10 horns. And the woman, verse 4, the woman was dressed in purple and scarlet and was glittering with gold and precious stones and pearls, and she held a golden cup in her hand filled with the abominable things and the filth of her adulteries. The name written on her forehead was a mystery: Babylon the Great, the mother of prostitutes and of the abominations of the earth. Verse 6, I saw that the woman was drunk with the blood of God's holy people, the blood of those who bore testimony to Jesus. Do you notice the similarities between chapter 17, verses 1 through 6, and what we just read, verses 21, chapter 21, 9 through 21? We have on this side the prostitute. On this side, the bride. The prostitute has her gold and her jewels and even some pearls. The bride, gold and jewels and precious stones. The prostitute out in the wilderness. The bride up on the mountain. You see that? The mountain and the wilderness, those are pictures. Those come from the Old Testament, Ezekiel and Isaiah. And the beginning in verse 1 and 17, come, I'll take you. And he was taken by the Spirit into the wilderness. And in chapter 21, verse 9, I was taken in the Spirit to the mountain. Fernando and I know that very well because we talked about Ezekiel a long time ago. And Ezekiel has those visions. John is taking us back to the vision of Ezekiel the prophet. And then the prostitute, she has a name. Her name was the city's name, Babylon. Goes all the way back to Genesis. Babylon, the city where Abraham was from. Babylon, the city where they tried to build a tower that will reach God and make a name for themselves. Babylon, the city that had to be destroyed. Babylon had become evil in oppressing the poor, being a tyrant and being a place where so much great evil was being committed. God had to destroy her. But she came back as Egypt. And then she came back as Jerusalem. And she came back as is Syria, and she came back as Tyre and Damascus, and she came back as Babylon again. That's chapter 17. But in chapter 21, the bride's name is Jerusalem. So there's two cities, Babylon and Jerusalem. There's two women, the prostitute and the bride. Are we catching the picture here? God's people coming down out of heaven from God. Verse 11, it shone with the glory of God. Its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. The bride is beautiful. Amen. The bride is so beautiful. Let me tell you why the bride is beautiful. I read this somewhere. I think it was in a children's story, maybe from George MacDonald, a very old poet from England, or somebody else. But the saying is, there are many beautiful women, and a woman's beauty comes from her dress, her hair, her makeup. And this is what he says: there's nothing more beautiful than a woman who is loved. When a woman knows that she is loved and she is precious and that someone would be willing to give his life for her, that she's the only one, she doesn't need all that stuff. The beauty comes from within. You know, I always tell, Nahom and I, when we watch TV, you know, there's always these commercials with makeup and hair and shampoo commercials, and they got all this, you know, so pretty. And they're usually girls like, you know, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. And she's, oh, kawaii ne, kirei ne. And I'm like, nah, wait till she's 28, 29, 30, when she's married and she's had some children. And that's when, to me, that's a beautiful woman. Someone who's lived and someone who's suffered a little bit, but gone through some stuff, but she's a mature woman. There's nothing more beautiful than a woman who's loved. God is showing us his bride. And his bride is so beautiful because his bride is loved. Greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, giving his life for her. The bride is beautiful because she's loved. The bride is beautiful because she's adorned. Back in chapter 21, now go to the beginning again of chapter 21. I don't know if it's up there. It'll be in your own Bible. Okay, John gave us a preview. Verse 2, chapter 21, I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. That's verse 2, right? Beautifully dressed for her husband. Beautifully dressed for her husband. And that's when we get down now to our passage. The angel, verses 18. To the end, made of jasper, pure gold, pure glass, the foundations of the city walls, precious stones, and then all the names of the stones. And then the gates were pearls. The gates were pearls. The gates were pearls. And so she's beautiful because of all her adornments. And what are her adornments? What are those precious jewels? Listen to me now. God looks at us, each one of us, and we are precious in his sight. Isaiah said, Jesus, God gave up, because we are precious in his sight, he gave up men for us. He gave up his own son for us. Each one of us is as precious to God as a jasper, an amethyst, a beryl. We're a precious stone. And listen, I'll be the first to admit, I have no idea the value of precious stones. I don't know. But maybe you do. All I know is this. I'm not going to go out to the riverside and just pick up any rock and it's going to be precious. No. I have to dig down into the earth and dig and search and hunt, and I have to find where these jewels are. And God knows each and every single one of us. And he looks at each face, he knows every single name, and he knows every single one he's come to save. And he is digging down into us to find the gold and the precious jewel. Listen, there are plenty of beautiful women out there, many lovely girls. The reason I married Naomi, she's beautiful. There's one reason. But there's one thing I know for sure. I married her because of the gold inside of her. There was precious gold inside of her that I saw when she'd come up here and testify. And when we'd spend time together as friends and we'd go out to dinners and play. And she loved Jesus with all her heart. And that was pure gold to me. And I said, I'm going to get that woman. And God sees something inside of us that's precious and that's desirable. And that's what makes us beautiful. Now listen to me. I know some of us are thinking, Chris, you don't know what I did this morning. Chris, if we sat down and had a conversation of what I was doing a month ago, 3 years ago, you would not see me as precious or lovely or worth even 1 minute. I can't even bear to write down what I've done, let alone say it. And that may be true. And if you understand the filth and the weight of your sin, that's the best way to understand the love of God. To love you all the way down to that sin. And to say, I will wash that sin away with my blood. I will cover it. I will give my own life for that. The more we are honest with our sin, the more we will understand how God loves us and how much we are precious in His sight. Listen to me. If you feel you are not worthy of God's love, you've come to the right place. Because here you will find a love that you will never get from anywhere else. And that love is exactly what you need in order to face your sin. And that's the love that will transform you from being any kind of stone, any kind of rock or pebble, to a precious, beautiful, polished, glittering stone. You know where we read? It's clear as crystal, you know, transparent as gold. You know what that means? In those days, in the first century, you couldn't make things transparent and clear like glass. That's not what it means. It means dazzling, brilliant, glorious, light refracting off of it. So when they would polish and rub and scrape and polish and polish and polish and polish, it would be so beautiful. There was no dirt or no impurity. It would reflect light with so many colors, so much light. It's like looking at the sea and the sun is reflected. That's what he means. He's saying that is you when you see yourself with my love for you. You are dazzling, beautiful, radiant with the love of God. I loved looking up all these stones on Google image search. Thank God for the internet. It's so many colors. Red, gold, purple, blue, green, and just gorgeous colors. Gorgeous colors. The bride is beautiful because she's loved. She has all these stones. She's precious. The bride is beautiful because, you know what? She's mixed. The bride is beautiful because she's mixed. It's not all jasper, not all amethyst, not all onyx. It's mixed. They say that, the cutest babies are the mixed race babies. I don't know. I mean, I see babies all the time. I love them. And I think the cutest one we have is probably Omer's baby, Mayumi. But then Joyce is very beautiful too. But the bride of Christ is from every tongue, every tribe, every nation. She's a mixed race, and she's very beautiful. We have to treasure each other from other countries, other cultures, other tribes. Okay, now let's get to the best part of this passage. To me, the best part, and the part that makes the bride the most beautiful. It's in the middle where they start measuring things. Verse 12, it had a great high wall with 12 gates and with 12 angels at the gates. And on the gates were written the names of the 12 tribes. Okay, let's go down to verse 15.
The angel who talked with me had a measuring rod of gold and its gates on the walls. Now, verse 16, the city was laid out like a square as long as it was wide. And he measured the city with the rod, found it to be 12,000 stadia in length, wide and high as it is long. Okay, this is the best part, I'm telling you. This is so good. And you're thinking, wait, Chris, I don't understand. It's just a city and walls. No. Just wait. So the number is 12. We got that. 12 stadia, right? It's complete. It's massive. Now, there's one belief. There's one interpretation. It says this is literally a city of that length and that width and that height. So it's like from Los Angeles to Chicago, maybe from Nagasaki to Sapporo, all right? That, about 2,200 kilo, right? 2,200 kilos. Long and wide and high. Now, to me, that's crazy if it's an actual city of a cube that goes up into space, all right? What is it saying to me? Please understand. Almost every single sentence in the book of Revelation is coming from the Old Testament. Everything from Genesis all the way to Malachi, it points back to the Old Testament. Okay? Every number, every name, every location, every picture, the rivers, the temples, the angels, the countries, everything comes from the Old Testament, okay? Here there's a cube. Where can you find a cube in the Old Testament? There's only one cube in the Old Testament. God took Israel out of Egypt. He said, you're going to come and be my people. I'm going to be in and amongst you. How am I going to be in and amongst you? You're going to build a tent. It's called a tabernacle. Stay with me. The tabernacle will be in the middle of the people. Three tribes on this side, three tribes on this side, three on here, and three over there. North, east, north, south, west. In the middle will be this tent called the tabernacle. You come to the tabernacle. You bring a sacrifice with blood to cover your sins. Now, you come every day, but once a year, you come inside the tent. And inside the tent will be a room. It will be called the Holy of Holies. And inside the Holy of Holies, only one person will come. He'll be the high priest on one day of the year. And he'll have the blood of a bull and the blood of a goat. The blood of the goat for his sins, the blood of the bull for the sins of everybody. And in the Holy of Holies, it will be what shape? A cube. The cube, the Holy of Holies, where I will come down and I will be with my people and they will be with me all because of the blood that covers them. That was in the Old Testament. And now God is saying to us, all of my people, not one priest, not one person, not once a year, all of us, a kingdom of priests, a royal priesthood, not once a year, throughout all eternity. And we're going to go into the days next week. But every single one of us, throughout all time, we will be the Holy of Holies. The Holy of Holies will be the New Jerusalem. God's people, God's presence, God's dwelling, God's glory, God's life will be in all of us. That's what makes the bride beautiful. The bride is beautiful because God's beauty will be in her, will be in and amongst us. Amen? We are beautiful because God has made us beautiful, because God is in us. Is he in you? Is he in you? Are you in the wall? There is a thick wall. I have to go about the wall right now. There is a wall. Why is there a wall? Two things: security and judgment. The wall was to protect. The wall was to be security. The wall said there are those inside and there will be those outside. Are you in chapter 17 in Babylon, in the prostitute, or are you in chapter 21 in the bride, in the city? The other meaning of the wall is this: not only judgment, but security. You see, the wall doesn't happen at the end of the millennium, at the end of eternity. The wall is right now. Listen to me. I know, like I know myself, you have sinned. And you think, Chris, am I even worthy to be in the wall? Listen to me. If Jesus brought you in, nothing will ever take you out of that wall. Right? Jesus said in John, all that the Father have given to me, I will not lose even one. Did Jesus bring you into the wall? That means from here on out, you are secure. You are safe. And I know sometimes you feel danger, and you feel maybe this could be it. Yeah, maybe it's it. But you'll never be thrown out. That's one of the reasons for the wall. The wall has those inside and the wall outside. Those are the ones outside. But listen to me. We're not reading John and we're not reading the Bible to condemn. There is judgment, but on this side of eternity, there's no condemnation. There's conviction. And if you are listening or reading this and you're thinking of condemnation, I'm done, I'm out, I'm not worthy, I can't get in, then you're reading it wrong. There should be not condemnation, but conviction. This is a book of hope. And hope comes not from condemnation, but from conviction. It says, yes, you have sin. Yes, you have failure and mistakes. Yes, but that is not the end. The end is through repentance and faith. Faith in him, the Lamb who gave his life, and repentance of your sin. And you turn away from the sin and to the Lamb and say, okay, I'll take that. That's conviction. That gives hope. Now, the final application, the very end. Please follow with me. Pastor Chris, I don't know if this is really encouraging for me. I don't know really all the meaning of these things. How can it really help me? What helps me when I read this is I think of those first Christians who read this letter. And I think of when they lost their homes or when they're thrown into the dirt and into the mud. I think of when the government takes their money and their clothing and they're left naked. And I think of those who are hungry because they haven't gone with food.
And they've lost their money, their wealth, their gold, and their precious things. And here I see John is writing to a people who on the outside are dirty, hungry, poor, and to the world, useless and worthless. And John is saying, read this. This is who you are. You're not dirty, hungry, poor, useless, naked. You are clothed in righteousness. You are precious in God's sight. You are beautiful, and God gave himself for you, and you have an eternity in the New Jerusalem. So maybe you are here today, and you don't have much. And you don't have the nicest things, and you look on Facebook or you look on the news, and they have all the beautiful things, and they have all the nice stuff, and you think, well, I barely have enough to eat. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Yes. And God has a hope for glory for you. That's the final application I can think of. There's so much more. I know that you, when you read it, will draw so much more. I'm more than happy to discuss it with you. But right now, let's go to Jesus. Let's go to the Lamb. Let's go to our bridegroom. Let's worship him. Let's thank him. And let's pray. Let's pray together. God, I can't wait. I cannot wait. There's going to be a day where I'll never have to say I'm sorry ever again. There's going to be a day where I'll never fail anybody again. There's going to be a day when I can be completely honest and completely vulnerable. There's going to be a day when all my words will be taken for what they mean. I can't wait, God. I can't wait to see the pearls, the jewels, the stones. I can't wait to see you face to face. I can't wait. Lord, help me wait. Give me strength. I pray for my brothers and sisters. Enduring, persevering, doing all they can to hang on. I pray for them, Lord. Give them a vision. Give us a greater vision of your goodness, especially in those difficult days, these dark, cold, lonely days. Give us a greater vision, Lord. Yes, Lord. Give us a song. Give us a verse. Give us a word. Yes, Lord. Give us your presence. Give us your voice. Lord, give us your touch. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Give us your light. Give us your clothing. Give us your righteousness. Give us the living water. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Give us the melodies. Give us the harmonies. Give us, Lord God, the spring in our step, the strength in our bones. Give us, Lord God, a greater vision, Lord. Give us heaven in our heart. Give us the New Jerusalem in our minds, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And we will thank you for all of these things, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.